Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The first question tonight that we want to consider comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 5. And the person asks, should this scripture be taken literally regarding women praying with their heads uncovered? It deals more specifically, and I didn't have room for everything, as to the shame that is identified in the context that takes place if a woman prays with her head uncovered. What exactly does the passage teach? To begin with, I want us to understand is that there are some, even in the Lord's church, who take this to be literal, and they say that a woman must have her hair or her head covered in order for her to be pleasing and acceptable to God during the time of worship. I know some members of the church, some even scholars in the church, who have held to this view. I do not know today where they are, so I'm not going to mention any names. But you would be surprised as to the take that many people have in regard to this. If you look to the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 5, the Scripture says here, But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovers, dishonors her head, for that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. In this, we learn from the immediate context itself is that not only are we dealing with praying, but we are also dealing with prophesying. So if one is true, then wouldn't it also hold true for the other? To begin with, I might mention that we know that we are still to pray in the church, but prophecy has been done away with. So therefore, we would conclude that at least part, if not all of this passage, would not be applicable to us. In this, then, we see the word uncovered. I believe the King James refers to this as unveiled. If you look to this, we find is that the result of the woman praying or prophesying unveiled or uncovered would bring shame or dishonor to her head. In this, too, there are things that we need to consider from the context. To begin with, we see is that it presents God's eternal chain of authority. This is set forth in verses 1 through verse 3. Paul says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Verse 2, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you." As we look at this word tradition as it is given in verse 2, he's not speaking in reference to Paul's traditions, nor is he speaking in reference to the traditions of men. The word tradition here is given in reference to the divine message, God's command. If you note then verse 3, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." The chain of authority, Christ is superior above all, and man answers to God, and the woman then answers to the man. We find this to be the way in which God has established the home. The husband is the head of the house. We also understand that this would point to the way in which God has established the church. Men are responsible for the leading roles in the church. This presents God's chain of authority. It also teaches, I believe, some cultural as well as a centralized situation that's taking place. Cultural meaning is that the women in those days were to wear their hair of length. Why were they to do that? Because of the notoriety in regard to temple prostitutes. The temple prostitutes of that age, if you look to the historicity of the context of what's going on, they oftentimes crop their hair to look more like a male. And in that then, from time to time, they would even shave their head. And in this then, what Paul is saying, at least in part, is that you do not want to identify as these temple prostitutes. Because if you do, not only is it going to be a dishonor and a shame to you, but in like figure, it's also going to be a dishonor and a shame to your husband, who is your head. At least in part, that's under consideration. The centralized situation then would be that this is taking place, evidently, within the church at Corinth. If you read from 1 Corinthians, you're going to find time after time there were problems at Corinth. And Paul writes to deal with not things that he thinks might come about, but rather things that are going on in the church. So therefore, we have a centralized situation that he himself is dealing with. If we take the overall of this context in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through verse 16, I believe that the overall message here is that Paul is identifying that women must recognize their role under man as she is praying. In this context also, as she is prophesying, she must pray in a submissive manner. For the woman to have cropped her hair and to have aligned with the temple prostitutes would have been not only disrespectful, but it would have shown that she was not recognizing, she was not complying with the chain of authority that God has given. And therefore, what we would deduce tonight, and to say certainly this would be applicable to us tonight, is that as women are praying, they need to recognize their role to be under or to be submissive to the man. As I studied for this, I want to point out J.W. McGarvey, an individual who is now dead and gone. Brother McGarvey has written much material in reference to not only this passage but other passages. This is also his conclusion. Brother David Lipscomb, while today we would not endorse Lipscomb University, the things that Brother Lipscomb wrote years and years ago, by all means, was very solid. He was a very faithful member and scholar in the church, and also Brother Lipscomb lines up with the things that I have presented. As this question was presented too, I want to take the opportunity or the liberty to try and answer another question that oftentimes is presented as a result of what people will read into this passage. As they see prophesying and praying, they are looking to this to speak in reference to the context of the assembly. And I do believe that it does speak in reference to, at least in part, the assembly. If you note verses 17 and following, Paul is dealing with the Lord's Supper. And that certainly is whenever the church comes together. And as a result of the context, many people say that this authorizes women to pray publicly. Does it do that? No, it does not. Neither in the immediate context, nor do we find this in the overall context of the Scripture. God does not, in any format, authorize women to lead prayer publicly in the assembly. What we find in reference to this is that God has said that women must be submissive to men. And that, again, fits into the context. Also, we understand is that the men must take the leadership roles, not only when it comes to praying, but when it comes to every avenue of our worship, every act of worship. Men are responsible for this.